Today is the 21st day of April. Welcome back to Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today. Grateful to have another step in the journey that takes us through the entire Bible. And we have come a lot of steps. Well, we got a lot of steps to go. Day by day, step by step, that's how this journey goes. So let's take the next step that leads us back into the book of Joshua. Today, chapter 22, verse 21 to 23, verse 16. Then the people of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered the heads of the clans of Israel. The Lord, the Mighty One, is God. The Lord, the Mighty One, is God. He knows the truth, and may Israel know it too. We have not built the altar in treacherous rebellion against the Lord. If we have done so, do not spare our lives this day. If we have built an altar for ourselves to turn away from the Lord, or to offer burnt offerings, or grain offerings, or peace offerings, may the Lord himself punish us. The truth is, we have built this altar because we fear that in the future, your descendants will say to ours, what right do you have to worship the Lord, the God of Israel? The Lord has placed the Jordan River as a barrier between our people and you, people of Reuben and Gad. You have no claim to the Lord, so your descendants may prevent our descendants from worshiping the Lord. So we decided to build the altar, not for burnt offerings or sacrifices, but as a memorial. It will remind our descendants and your descendants that we too have the right to worship the Lord at his sanctuary with our burnt offerings, sacrifices, and peace offerings. Then your descendants will not be able to say to ours, you have no claim to the Lord. If they say this, our descendants can reply, look at this copy of the Lord's altar that our ancestors made. It is not for burnt offerings or sacrifices. It is a reminder of the relationship both of us have with the Lord. Far be it from us to rebel against the Lord, or turn away from him by building our own altar for burnt offerings, grain offerings, or sacrifices. Only the altar of the Lord our God that stands in front of the tabernacle may be used for that purpose. When Phinehas the priest and the leaders of the community, the heads of the clans of Israel, heard this from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they were satisfied. Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, replied to them, today we know the Lord is among us, because you have not committed this treachery against the Lord, as we thought. Instead, you have rescued Israel from being destroyed by the hand of the Lord. Then Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, and the other leaders left the tribes of Reuben and Gad and Gilead and returned to the land of Canaan to tell the Israelites what had happened. And all the Israelites were satisfied and praised God and spoke no more of war against Reuben and Gad. The people of Reuben and Gad named the altar Witness, for they said, it is a witness between us and them that the Lord is our God too. The years passed, and the Lord had given the people of Israel rest from all their enemies. Joshua, who was now very old, called together all the elders, leaders, judges, and officers of Israel. He said to them, I am now a very old man. You have seen everything the Lord your God has done for you during my lifetime. The Lord your God has fought for you against your enemies. I have allotted to you as your homeland all the land of the nations yet unconquered, as well as the land of those we have already conquered, from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. This land will be yours, for the Lord your God will himself drive out all the people living there now. You will take possession of their land, just as the Lord your God promised you. So be very careful to follow everything Moses wrote in the book of instruction. Do not deviate from it, turning either to the right or to the left. Make sure you do not associate with the other people still remaining in the land. Do not even mention the names of their gods, much less swear by them, or serve them, or worship them. Rather, cling tightly to the Lord your God, as you have done until now. For the Lord has driven out great and powerful nations for you, and no one has yet been able to defeat you. Each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy, for the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away from him and cling to the customs of the survivors of these nations remaining among you, and if you intermarry with them, then know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive them out of your land. Instead, they will be a snare and a trap to you, a whip for your backs, and thorny brambles in your eyes. And you will vanish from this good land the Lord your God has given you. Soon I will die, going the way of everything on earth. Deep in your hearts you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed. But as surely as the Lord your God has given you the good things he promised, he will also bring disaster on you if you disobey him. He will completely destroy you from this good land he has given you. If you break the covenant of the Lord your God by worshiping and serving other gods, his anger will burn against you, and you will quickly vanish from the good land he has given you. Luke 20, 27 through 47. Then Jesus was approached by some Sadducees, religious leaders who say there is no resurrection from the dead. They posed this question: Teacher, Moses gave us a law that if a man dies, leaving a wife but no children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child who will carry on the brother's name. Well, suppose there were 7 brothers. The oldest one married and then died without children. So the second brother married the widow, but he also died. Then the third brother married her. This continued with all 7 of them who died without children. Finally, the woman also died. So tell us, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? For all 7 were married to her. Jesus replied, Marriage is for people here on earth, but in the age to come, those worthy of being raised from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they will never die again. In this respect, they will be like angels. They are children of God and children of the resurrection. But now as to whether the dead will be raised, even Moses proved this when he wrote about the burning bush. Long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, he referred to the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So he is the God of the living, not the dead, for they are all alive to him. Well said, teacher, remarked some of the teachers of religious law who were standing there. and then no one dared to ask him any more questions. Then Jesus presented them with a question. "Why is it," he asked, "that the Messiah is said to be the son of David? For David himself wrote in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet.'" Since David called the Messiah Lord, how can the Messiah be his son? Then, with the crowds listening, he turned to his disciples and said, "Beware of these teachers of religious law, for they like to parade around in flowing robes and love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces. And how they love the seats of honor in the synagogues and the head table at banquets. Yet they shamelessly cheat widows out of their property and then pretend to be pious by making long prayers in public. Because of this, they will be severely punished." Psalm 89:14-37. "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Unfailing love and truth walk before you as attendants. Happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship, for they will walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice all day long in your wonderful reputation. They exult in your righteousness. You are their glorious strength. It pleases you to make us strong. Yes, our protection comes from the Lord, and he, the Holy One of Israel, has given us our King. Long ago, you spoke in a vision to your faithful people. You said, 'I have raised up a warrior. I have selected him from the common people to be king. I have found my servant David. I have anointed him with my holy oil. I will steady him with my hand. With my powerful arm, I will make him strong. His enemies will not defeat him, nor will the wicked overpower him. I will beat down his adversaries before him and destroy those who hate him. My faithfulness and unfailing love will be with him, and by my authority he will grow in power. I will extend his rule over the sea, his dominion over the rivers, and he will call out to me, 'You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation.' I will make him my firstborn son, the mightiest king on earth. I will love him and be kind to him forever. My covenant with him will never end. I will preserve an heir for him. His throne will be as endless as the days of heaven. But if his descendants forsake my instructions and fail to obey my regulations, if they do not obey my decrees and fail to keep my commands, then I will punish their sin with the rod and their disobedience with beating. But I will never stop loving him, nor fail to keep my promise to him. No, I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word I said. I have sworn an oath to David, and in my holiness I cannot lie. His dynasty will go on forever. His kingdom will endure as the sun. It will be as eternal as the moon, my faithful witness in the sky." Proverbs 13:17-19. An unreliable messenger stumbles into trouble, but a reliable messenger brings healing. If you ignore criticism, you will end in poverty and disgrace. If you accept correction, you will be honored. It is pleasant to see dreams come true, but fools refuse to turn from evil to attain them. Okay, so before the Israelites cross over the Jordan River, there's the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh. And they had come to Moses because that land was like perfect promised land for them. So they asked if they could keep this land that they had won on the eastern side of the Jordan, because, like I said, it's perfect for them. Moses granted their request if all the men of those tribes would cross over the Jordan and fight alongside their brothers to obtain the promised land. And they agreed. So we're moving into the final chapters of the book of Joshua. And these tribes have fulfilled their obligation. And so the men of Reuben and Gad and half of Manasseh, they're discharged to go back. They fulfilled their duty. And it was time to go back across the Jordan and build their lives and build up their homeland, their inheritance. Rumors quickly reached the leaders of Israel that these eastern tribes were building an imposing altar near the Jordan River. And everybody knew, like, there was only one altar to Yahweh, and that was held in common among all those tribes, all the chosen people. So it was assumed that these returning eastern tribes were getting to the Jordan River, to the border, and breaking covenant with the western tribes and with God. And so they have assembled in an emergency and are prepared now for civil war to attack the eastern tribes after all of the victories they have won together. Like, they're preparing to attack the eastern tribes and destroy them, because this is breaking the covenant, and destruction will happen if they break the covenant. So, man, had they attacked based on rumor and then the assumption, like the false reality built out of a rumor or a piece of gossip, man, that story, it would have turned tragic very quickly. It would have been a dreadful one to read. Thankfully, they chose delegates. They chose to hold their assumption loosely and send somebody to find out what's going on, to get answers before proceeding. And those answers change the story altogether. So they are confronted. The eastern tribes have this delegation come to them and go, "What is going on with this altar you are building? Like, are you breaking covenant already?" And the eastern tribes say, "Look, the truth about this is that we have built this altar because we fear that in the future, your descendants are going to say to ours, 'You don't have any right to worship the Lord, the God of Israel. The Lord has placed this Jordan River as a barrier between our people and your people of Reuben and Gad. You don't have any claim to the Lord.' So in the future generations, your descendants may prevent ours from worshiping the Lord." So that was the truth. The altar had not been erected in rebellion to God at all. It wasn't even made for worship. It was a memorial. It was there to stand as a witness that they were all brothers and sisters and they belonged together either side of the Jordan River. So rumor and assumption. Man, so often born out of gossip and slander are very dangerous things in all communities and in all relationships. Whether that's personal or national or international. If we act on them without filling in all the blanks with the actual truth, then the assumption and rumor, these things become false realities, which, man, that is deception, and so that's dangerous. So had the Western tribes acted on their assumptions, Israel would have fallen into a terrible civil war, and before it could ever get sorted out, so many would die for no justifiable reason. That's what happens, though, when we act on our assumptions without slowing down and listening to the voice of wisdom and taking the time to find the whole story. So let's learn from ancient Israel today and be sure to hold our assumptions loosely and seek to know the whole truth before we act on half of the truth. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. These things are so significantly part of the teachings of the Savior about the motives of the heart, what is really going on that is making us pure or impure. So we invite your Holy Spirit to lead us. Again, this is an opportunity to be led into all truth, but the truth is inward. And so it's not an ambiguous thing that we're asking. We're inviting you to expose us to ourselves, which can be painful and but necessary. So come, Holy Spirit, bring the light of truth into the darkness, even the darkness within us. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base, that is the website. The Daily Audio Bible app, that is home base as well, that is the app. So be familiar with both of those as we continue our journey toward a big transition of both of them. So be familiar and connected to that. And check out the community section. This is a really good time to be familiar with that. The prayer wall lives there. That's always a good time to be familiar with. But the different places on social media, as we work our way toward some new things around here, being able to communicate, you know, through those channels. Well, It's easy, and it's a good use of it. So make sure you check out those links wherever you are. Just look for Daily Audio Bible and you'll find Daily Audio Bible and stay connected that way. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button. That is the little red button in the app up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. That's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, DAB family. Yes, my name is Nola. I live here in Grants Pass, Oregon. Today I'm calling in to ask you to please pray for a dear friend of mine by the name of Bev. I'm asking you to please pray that God's hand, healing hand, is upon her and will bring her comfort, and may his presence go with her. Thanking you so very much. I know the power of prayer is strong and God hears every prayer. So I'm asking you to please lift up Bev. Thank you so very much, DAB family.
Good morning, Devers. This is Colorado Jesus Girl. I'm sitting in the middle of Southern Colorado here near the sand dunes. My husband took me here for my birthday this weekend. And on my birthday this week, on Tuesday, I was just laying in bed being grateful for so many things. And God just kind of gave me this poem to write. So I'd like to share that with you if I could. In 2020, when the world was on lockdown, pandemic, chaos, unrest, I feared the unknown. Do I believe? Will we survive? A blessing or a test? Searching for peace, I found DAB, first-time listener, feeling super depressed. Missed a few days, finished the Bible year one, fear and unbelief renewed and refreshed. 1 year became six, 30 days makes a habit. I can't live without Dad now, God is the best. What a beautiful community of believers near and far. God bless you all, I truly am blessed. You've helped me through the death of a son, a father, an elderly friend. Burdening grief, yes. Listening to the Word of God, global prayers, beautiful lessons, and others suffering, no less. It turned my mourning into hope, my fear to peace, and sin to be addressed. I am grateful for the DAB community, Father God, Jesus my Savior, who lived and died for the least of us. If we never meet here on earth, beyond the listening ears, I know I'll have many friends in eternal rest. Love you all. Colorado Jesus Girl.
Hey, DAB fam, it's Laurie and Eugene. Just a few things I wanted to share with y'all. Number one, the prayer wall. All of you who pray on the prayer wall, I am so grateful. I will be getting there to do my time of lifting those prayers up too, because I'm seeing such answered prayer for something I had put on there a week or so ago, and I am so grateful. We're seeing just amazing things. So praise for answered prayer, lifting up the prayer wall warriors. And that also made me think today when I heard people on the water that he used to be someone that I consistently prayed for, and it made me think about people who maybe aren't hearing their prayer on the daily reading, and thinking people maybe aren't hearing it and aren't praying. Well, I just want to assure you that you are being prayed for. It's getting on the community prayers if you're not hearing it on the daily reading, and people are lifting you up. And then I feel like God puts on different people's hearts, certain people to continue to pray for. So people on the water, you were one of those for me years ago, where for whatever reason you were on my heart and on my mind, so I was lifting you up in prayer beyond your call-ins. And I know that's happening for people that call in here. That so just like today, I'm gonna pray for I'm not gonna say the name right, I want to say Marinacci. I don't know if that's right, the man with the enlarged heart, and his son and grandsons were calling in to pray for him, so I want to pray for him. And from, I think it was Clara from New Hampshire. I used to be really good with names. My time's up. Love you, DAB fam.
Hi, I'm calling in for Just Judy from the community prayers on April 11th at 58 minutes and 23 seconds in. Judy, you called in for your son-in-law, Brian, who has ALS and is totally paralyzed other than the ability to move his eyes. He cries a lot, which makes you cry, which makes your daughter cry, your daughter Shannon. And so we want to bring Brian and Shannon before the Lord. And they have two kids, ages 23 and 26. God, I ask for these two kids to be strong in you, to be yours, to obey you and to love you and to know you love them. Protect them, cover them, and care for them. And also for Judy, Brian, and Shannon, give them strength and hope and peace. Also, Judy, you have leukemia and are completely blind. None of you have money for the terrible expense of a caregiver. I believe you said your daughter is working an awful lot to cover the finances, and the situation is very dire. And also, Judy, you have a friend in another state who you've had for many, many years, a lifetime really, who is comatose after three strokes, and you aren't able to go see her. So this whole situation is so hard and hurt my heart. So God, we thank you for all of these people. We thank you that we can come to you on their behalf. We thank you that you love them, and we ask for you to send help. Send help, God. Send an army of helpers and give them peace and joy. Bring joy into their home and hope. And thank you that they know your love.
Hi, family. This is his little Cherie in Canada. Would you pray for my dad, my beloved dad? He's 85 years old. I call him Pastor Gandalf. His real name is Larry, but I like saying Pastor Gandalf. I call him that because of his eyebrows, mostly. He recently had to go to hospital because he hadn't been able to go to the bathroom for several days. I can't even imagine that, but he finally was so uncomfortable, he went to the hospital. They drained his bladder, which was a great relief, and they put a catheter in. They also did a bunch of tests and found that his prostate was very enlarged, and his PSI numbers were very high. And so he has to wear the catheter for 10 days, and then they're going to check it, and he's waiting for an appointment with his doctor. And to be honest, I have not been handling this very well. I have felt very panic-stricken. I just can't imagine being on planet Earth without my dad. And so I want him to live, forever. And we know we're going to live forever, but I want him to be here for at least another decade. So I'm hoping he makes it to 95. And that's what I'm praying for. But would you join me in praying for God's will to be done? Because we know that is what's best. But I'm just taking that on trust right now because my emotions are involved. And so I appreciate prayer support for this. Thank you, family. Love you. Bye-bye.
I'd like to lift up a prayer request for Carla in New Hampshire, who is a caretaker for her husband. And she's working three jobs. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift her up to you, Father. I pray, God, for your grace, mercy, your strength, your wisdom, Lord Jesus, that you would continue to send people her way, God, that will assist her and help her as she takes care of her husband, Father. And that, God, you would even give her wisdom concerning her jobs, Lord God, that perhaps, if possible, that she may be able to let one or two of them go, Lord. I don't know her situation, Father. You see it all. And I just pray that you would just give her wisdom, Lord Jesus. Give her grace through this time period. In the name of Jesus, strengthen her, Lord God. Send others to continue to hold her arms up and to help her through this process. And then I pray for Daniel Johnson Jr., who's unemployed and lost his mom. So, Father, I pray for Daniel Johnson Jr., Lord, that you would just go before him and open up doors for him for jobs, Lord Jesus. You know exactly where he belongs. and what type of work he should be doing. Father, you've already got a job out there waiting for him. And I pray, God, that as he goes in search of this job, Father, that you would just put people in his path, God, that will help him, you know, to find this job, Lord God, to give him favor. And I pray that you would heal him, Lord God, or that you would strengthen him as he goes through the grief process with his mom. It's a long process, Father God, but you're there with him. And I just pray you would encourage him and strengthen him in Jesus' name. And happy birthday, Daniel Johnson Jr. God bless and keep you and strengthen you in Jesus' name.